Good afternoon, listeners, and we're back with show 24, would you believe? We've been doing this now for just over 12 months, and we're up to show 24. And I'm joined today, I've shot over to the Lincolnshire region, to the studio that we use over here, and I'm joined by none other than the Reverend
Christopher Moore. Christopher Michael Moore.
The Right Honourable.
M.A.
Is that what you say about a vicar?
What?
Right Honourable?
About a vicar, you can describe him as the Reverend,
yeah.
Like me. The Right Reverend.
Oh, okay.
As if they're very, very religious.
Right.
Or other words, you know. I can't think of them at the moment.
But okay.
There are other words.
I thought there would be a proper way of introducing somebody like
your
that.
Your Reverendship, I suppose. Your Reverency.
I wouldn't know.
Yeah,
really?
Your Reverency. Good afternoon, Your Reverency.
Oh, yeah, okay. Well, like good that. Afternoon, Your Reverency.
Well, thank you very much, young Nicholas.
Are you well?
I am very well, thank you. Yes, I'm quite all right. I had a bit of feedback from my diabetic eye check the other day.
All right.
And I'm all clear.
Well, that's good news.
As Johnny Nash says, I can see clearly now.
Really?
Yeah, I can, which is good. It means I don't have those horrible stingy drops put in, which dilate your pupils.
Oh, okay.
So they can take photographs of your eye.
Ah, Yeah, I know what you mean. Yeah, I have heard about it.
Yeah, not nice.
No, so, things with your eyes, man, that gives you the old heebie-jeebies, doesn't it?
Oh, it does.
Ooh.
Oh, no. Like my mum, bless her, has had her cataracts taken out.
Oh, that, yeah.
I said, how do they do that then? She says, they put a laser in your eye. I said, you're actually awake while they're doing this?
Mm.
Yeah, oh, yes.
Yeah.
I couldn't bear that.
No. Well, in saying that, I do know the procedure.
Yes.
Touch wood, luckily enough, I'm not in that kind of area.
You just touched my Chinese table.
Did I?
Mm.
Did it well.
Anyway, sorry I interrupted you.
I've got an uncle.
Yes.
Who's got a problem with his eyes. I can't tell you exactly what it is because I can't remember.
No.
But he has to have injections into his eyes.
Yeah.
Every month.
Oh, no.
Yeah. Yeah.
Injections? What, with a needle?
Yeah.
Oh!
Yeah.
Lovely.
Yeah. That's loses its humorous side, isn't it?
It certainly is. I don't think we can say anything funny out of that.
No, not at all.
But we can say something funny out of these lovely cakes, Nick.
I brought a couple of ice buns.
What do they look like together?
You just love them because they look like women's breasts.
They do, don't they?
Don't they?
Pick that cherry bit in
the
middle.
Well, it's the cherry that actually attracts me. You know, that laced with icing does have a kind of thought. Hang on a minute.
That's quite a nice salt, actually.
Makes you think, doesn't it?
Yeah. Couple of boobies with ice.
Indeed.
On them. Mm, nice little
happy
cherry.
Days.
A very happy day. Long since gone.
Ah, okay, right. Okay. Well, you can have a lick of them.
I would indeed. But not now that I'm a reverend, of course.
Well, I don't know.
Because I don't think I'd be looked down on.
Well, they are married, aren't they?
Who are?
Vicars and that kind of thing.
Yeah, well, they can be. They shouldn't be if they're in the Catholic Church.
Really?
Yes. Because they're married to the Church.
Ah, okay.
If you're a Catholic.
Right. Priest.
Church of England didn't do anything.
So you don't get a lot of bra twinging?
No.
Okay.
Not in the Catholic Church. No.
Okay, they're a bit funny though, aren't they?
Ooh. Well, define funny, Nick.
Well, I've got to confess I don't know that much about it.
Oh, well, let's have some of your preconceived notions of Catholicism.
Well, I don't know I've got any, apart from the fact they're very strict, and I don't think you can do sex for marriage, can you? Correct me if I'm wrong.
I think that is...
That's probably been the only bit that's interested me.
I think that is correct, technically speaking.
Okay.
But in reality, I don't think that's going to hold much water.
Right, okay. Yeah. So you don't think they beat the gong for that?
No, I don't think so.
Got it.
Okay. But they are strict. Mind you, you want strict religious people. You want to go to somebody like the Quakers.
Oh, they're heavy duty, aren't they?
Or Mormons or something like that.
Yeah.
Oh, my goodness sake.
You know, yeah.
Or Jehovah's Witnesses. They've got some weird ideas.
Well, they have, which I've had quite a fair bit of experience with Jehovah's Witnesses.
I do have, yeah.
Have you?
Yeah, well, the people come round, they knock on the doors, and I've got on quite well with them.
Yeah, well, I have.
Yeah,
I have, Chris. I've never kind of slammed a door in the face or even not opened the door.
No, because I quite like the discussion that happens.
I've had a little bit of a discussion with them. When I first moved to Norfolk, there was a couple that came round a lot. Only young.
Yeah.
A guy and a girl.
Mm.
And they were really nice. I always used to open the door, always used to spend time. And I thought, if you're going to traipse around the bloody, you know, roads every day doing this shit in the weather and the rest of it. It's very rude to not open the door.
Oh, it is. Unnecessary as well. You know, all they're trying to do is spread a little bit of happiness.
Yeah.
You know.
And the word.
And the word.
Whatever the word may be.
As they see it. Not necessarily as anybody else sees it.
No. I'm not sure what the word is. What is the word, Chris, that they're trying to...
They go on about the day of judgment a lot, don't they? And how many people are going to be selected and what's going to happen to them. So they got this idea that I think it's something like, there's a very specific number.
Right.
It's something like 1,100 and something people are going to be elevated to heaven.
Okay.
On the day of judgment, where they'll be duplicated in their most perfect form, whatever that was. So
right.
Them at 20 or them at 30. Everything will be beautiful. And I like the sound of that. Back to the swinging 60s, man.
Yeah.
Hey,
yeah. Everything beautiful. Yeah.
They're the lucky ones. The baddies will go down to hell.
Yeah.
And I think the rest of them are sort of indecisive, you know. They have to work for wherever they go.
Oh, okay.
I think it's something like that.
Really?
Yeah.
Well, you've totally enlightened me there, man, because I didn't know.
Well, don't take that as gospel. I might have twisted that wrong a little bit, but because I've got this another idea they have is heaven on earth, you know, where everything is perfect on planet Earth.
Right.
But I don't know. I'm probably confusing two things here.
Okay.
But they certainly are nice people.
Well, I thought so. Mm. I mean, like I say, I used to spend Nava Rabbit on the doorstep,
yes.
You know. They used to want to come in and they always gave you this little...
The book, the booklet. Yeah.
Yeah, the little pamphlet job. Yeah.
And have a read of this. This
yeah, which question. I never did. It went straight in the bin.
Yeah.
But yeah, I have my own views, which, unless asked, I don't share.
No.
But I always... kind of thought, how damned impolite to not give these people the time of day.
Yeah, I agree.
And just stand there on the door and have a rabbit.
Yeah.
I'm not suggesting, you know, Sunday tea and a salad.
No.
You know, not that kind of vibe.
Cucumber sandwiches.
Yeah.
No.
Without the crust. With or without.
Or me, with.
Yeah.
Yeah, I like a nice crust.
Yeah, me too. Mm. I don't mind a bit of that.
Mm.
Anyway. What you been doing? Tell us what you've been doing. What have you been doing?
I went to a newly formed poetry group.
Okay.
Down here in Boston.
Tell us about that.
Well, it's good. We're calling it a collective.
Okay.
So we're not going to have anybody who's in charge as such, or if we do, it's going to be a rotating chairperson.
Yeah.
Basically, it's the gathering of like-minded souls, you know, when we go along, usually on a Saturday morning. And we create, if that doesn't sound too pretentious.
No, that sounds good.
Somebody comes up with an idea and then a prompt and we start to write. And one little exercise is you're given a topic and the person prompt says, think about what you did yesterday or what did you buy and what did you watch on the TV? It just keeps on giving you little prompts.
Yeah.
You write down your reactions to them in bullet points.
Yeah.
Then... each bullet point is separated, so you cut them up into strips.
Okay.
Line them out in front of you and reorder them.
Right.
And you see what comes out.
Oh, brilliant.
And this is a thing called found poetry.
That's what it's called.
That's called found poetry, where you've found a poem within something that isn't a poem.
Got it.
Yeah? So that's one exercise. Or you just read some of your own work. They call it work. I don't consider it work at all.
Right.
I consider it fun.
Okay.
You know, but you would say, read your own work, and you get people's feedback on it, you know. And
that sounds really good. Is that a new group?
It's a very new group, yeah. So we've got a local organisation up here called Transported, and they're a community arts project.
Right.
And I think they fund little initiatives like this, and this is a new one, so it's the Poetry Collective. And we're a group of, we started off with 7, I think we doubled in size in 3 weeks.
Oh, fantastic.
Which is pretty good. And the good thing about it is, nobody judges you, you know, they can express opinion,
yep.
Constructive opinion. We never dismiss what anybody's written, because
right.
That's wrong.
Sure.
But, you know, constructive criticism, and we just enjoy what each other's done. So I might write, I've been told I write as if I'm a hippie. I quite like that.
Well, I think you probably are got a bit of a foundation there, haven't you?
I've got a bit of a foundation there, yeah. So I'm quite happy with that description.
Quite sounds really good, man.
Yeah, yeah. And we range from about mid-20s up to, I think the oldest, in his 80s.
Oh, really?
Yeah. Well, I'm not far short of that, Nick.
Does he actually stop over and no need to go home because he's that old, he can't move?
I think they left him in a cupboard, yeah. Actually. Yeah.
Just till the next Saturday. Yeah, wheeled him out of the sack barrel. Yeah. Yeah, yeah, yeah. But then, no, that's brilliant,
but it's
man.
Fun.
Absolutely brilliant.
Yeah, yeah. And so I'll do that. I'll do my poetry. I keep that. Sorry, not poetry. Do my memoirs. I'm writing memoirs.
Yeah, you mentioned that very quickly off mic earlier on.
Yeah,
it sounds a really good project. That
something
does,
I've
man.
Got to do. It's my life story.
So tell us a bit more about that.
Well, I'm trying to document events I remember through my life.
Okay.
Now we're not. This is no way. This is not a bestseller. I'm not doing it for that.
No.
I'm doing it for myself, really. And immediate family.
Yeah.
So they can, you know, when I've passed on, which I hope is not for a long time, but when I do, there'd be a record there of what I thought, did, etc. during my lifetime. So there's some fun, lots of funny things in there, lots of serious things in there, you know.
That's like, really good.
Well, I was saying to you
great
earlier.
Project.
I was saying to you earlier, wasn't I, that I'm one of a very few people who reckon they can remember being born.
Yeah, we lightly touched on that,
yeah,
didn't
we
earlier on?
Well, I've always thought this, although I've never researched into it, but this time I did. I put in memories of being born into a computer search thing.
Yeah.
Page after page after page of people who actually recall being born in one way or another.
So when you say you recall being born,
yes.
What do you actually recall?
What I remember is... a force pushing me towards
right.
something. In this case, it's towards a light, right? I've been pushed, pulled, tugged, whatever you want to call it.
Yeah.
And if you think of the birth process, that's what it's like.
Yeah.
And I can remember that I was in this sort of reddish environment, which was very tight and very cosy. And I didn't really want to leave it.
Good
but
God.
I was being pulled and pushed, you know, I can't really describe it any better than that. To emerge into this new place, which was white, which would have been all the lights around.
Yeah,
you know?
Yeah.
That's about it. Nothing heavier than that. But I'm convinced that is a memory of being born. Convinced of it.
Well, I mean, I've got to say I've never known of that before.
Yeah.
I can't recall that kind of...
No,
I can't. I can recall... what I think are very sketchy parts of being incredibly small.
Yes.
But I couldn't actually say that was 6 months old.
No.
9 months old. I wouldn't know.
No.
To be honest, Chris.
No, well, people often, the experts say that in your infant years, you don't recall much at all.
Right.
So if you get these little, like people who claim they can remember being born, that's going to be it. They're not going to be able to say, like, when I was 7 days old, I did this. Or when I was 3 weeks old, I did this.
Right.
You're not going to get anything like that.
No.
It's a one-off thing until you get to about the age of 3, 4, I suppose.
Okay.
And I think it's the same with me. Because from that memory, the next thing I can recall is the house, my first house that my parents had.
Yeah.
Which was in Croydon. And I can remember little things about that house, just little tiny things, you know, like the loo was in the kitchen, which
right.
I always remember
okay.
as weird, you know. And the fact that the windows at night in the winter would literally freeze up and my dad would take a jug of water up to bed with him at night. And sometimes that was frozen completely.
Really?
Yeah, because it was so cold.
Holy shit.
Yeah. And then you develop your memories as you progress. So I'm finding the first few chapters, which is where I'm at the moment, although I've written quite a lot, the number of memories aren't there as much. But as I'm going, I'm jotting down more things and more
right.
things.
Right, yeah, it's kicking stuff off as
so
you...
So kick
yeah.
things off, yeah.
So this born process...
Yeah.
At what point does that memory stop then?
Well, this is... I can't answer that, Nick. I don't
right.
know.
So it's not a case that you are born... And we'll say, hypothetically,
yeah.
you're laying there on a midwife's tail or table
I
or whatever.
I'm sure I can remember being slapped. I'm sure I can.
Okay.
Because it was one, I can remember pain. the pain of physically being born, and when you think about it, you're being pushed.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
I don't want to get too
biological. No, 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 I know what you mean.
Pushed into a tiny little space
born. Yeah, yeah, yeah.
I'm sure I can remember that sense of pain.
Can you really?
And then when you're out, they get you breathing, or whatever they do, you get slapped. It's the first thing that happens to a baby, isn't it?
Yeah.
So in its,
I don't know whether they still do that. Do
I
they
don't
still
know.
Do that?
Like, sure.
I don't know. Wasn't that to make them breathe?
Yeah, to make to get them going. Yeah.
I've got to say, I don't know much about the process. Yeah. I've got, to be honest.
No, don't think I do really.
No.
But when you think about it, two experiences there of pain as an in, as a new creation.
Yeah.
Two first experiences of pain. So that brings into debate a theological consideration of original sin, doesn't it? Like that's in the Catholic Church, the concept of original sin.
Explain what that is, Chris. I'm totally ignorant.
Sorry,
don't worry. No.
What that means is, in religious terms, that the moment you take your first breath, you're guilty. You've
inherited of what?
Of everybody else's sins. You become a human, and therefore you are not faultless, and therefore you're capable of sin. So it's the original sin is there.
Right, okay.
Yeah, it's a bit heavy, but but you know, it makes sense of it when you think the first two things you experience are experiences of pain, you know. Makes you think.
Fascinating,
it?
Man. Oh, absolutely fascinating. Well, there we are. Now, I mean, I can't recall anything like that. Like I say, it would be just very small. I could just recall being very small.
Yeah.
Can't tell you anything actually happened.
No.
But I don't know whether that is a memory or that's imagination. Is that a thin line?
It is. It's a very thin line, Nick. And that is one of the big things. People who disregard what I've just said, this idea of remembering being born, they say it's not a memory, it's you imagining it.
Right,
You've read it somewhere.
Right.
And you think, oh, yeah, that's right. But my defence of that is that I've never researched it until just recently.
Okay.
And I've always had that feeling.
Right. Is that something that visits a lot, that memory?
No, not really. No. But when I was thinking of my book that I'm working on now, I was thinking, well, where can I start this? Where can I start this account? You know, what's the first chapter? I thought, it's got to be the first thing I reckon I can remember. That's being born, you know?
Bloody hell, no. Yeah. I mean, no. No, I couldn't, even if I was to sit here and think about it. And I'm briefly thinking about it, listening to what you're saying. Mm. I can't remember that.
No, not at all.
No.
It's like some people say they don't dream. But everybody dreams.
Well, put it this way. I'm one of them people.
What, it doesn't dream?
Well, I don't think I do.
Well, you won't remember them then, but you must dream.
Okay. Mm. I've had a few in my lifetime, but not many.
Really?
Yeah, not many.
I must be a nutcase, you know. I never have a sensible dream, Nick.
Don't you really?
Mine are absolute chaos.
Are they really?
Yeah. None of it makes any sense whatsoever.
So, you know, exotic Caribbean beach with Sophie Loren.
I couldn't possibly comment on that.
No,
I wouldn't like to say that.
What about the garden shed with the neighbour?
I wouldn't like to say that.
No.
Okay,
hey,
you're not drawing me on that.
Well, you never know. I mean, it is possible to have fantasies
I do dream
about
these,
women in the
cakes.
Streets. In the you're quickly changing the subject. You're back on the tits, though, aren't you?
Yeah. Well, that's another baby's first experience again, when you think about it, isn't it?
Yeah, I suppose it is.
Yeah, remember.
Yeah, unless you have that shit that's powdered crap, or whatever it is.
Yeah. Funny enough, I don't remember that, though.
Right, okay.
So, perhaps I've eradicated that.
I don't think I'd want to remember of my poor mum, no.
No.
You don't. There's some places you just don't go, isn't there?
Exactly.
And that is one of them.
It is. Nick.
Any insults or disrespectfulness towards
exactly.
your mum and dad is a no-go, isn't it?
You mustn't do that.
No.
And I wouldn't
wish totally
to.
A no-no.
But it's an interesting topic, isn't it?
Very.
The idea of what we remember, what we don't remember, you know.
Well, I think every time we do these shows, I learned something. I hope people who listen to it
learn that I'm an absolute nutter.
Well, that's...
Well,
that goes out. I naturally put that on the caption, Chris. You know, with this lunatic bastard that thinks he's irreverent. You know, that's what it says in the caption.
And a disc jockey.
Oh,
and an author and a poet.
I know that for ages. No. Disc jockey. You're now a radio presenter, aren't you?
Radio, well, of sorts.
Radio presenters.
All sorts.
Talking about that...
Yes.
Let's just slightly touch on...
Yes.
The kind of controversy that's gone on over this, who's going to replace Steve Wright doing Sunday love show, love songs.
Yeah.
Because there's been quite a lot of bad airplay around that, haven't there?
Well, you'll have to fill me in on this one, Nick, because I haven't really followed that storyline.
Well, obviously on the death of Steve Wright,
yes.
The legend that was.
Brilliant.
BBC decided to carry on with Sunday love songs,
yes.
Which is what he did 9 to 11, I think, yes. On a Sunday. Great show until it got a little bit kind of label led over the past 2 or 3 years. But up until then, it was excellent show, excellent show. Well, they decided to keep it. I think it was Joe Wiley that broke who was actually going to stand in and replace Steve Wright.
Yeah.
And it turned out to be Michael Ball.
Oh.
Right. Now, that was a lot of people's kind of view.
Yeah, no.
Now, Michael Ball does the show that followed Steve Wright's Sunday Love Songs.
Yeah.
11 o'clock till 1 o'clock when that Larry Bear bloody, I can't remember her name, but does the show tunes, was in Cats. She was in Cats. I can't remember her name.
Page, is it?
Elaine Page. Yeah. Oh, stone me. Mm. No, you really wouldn't want to spend a lot of time in a room with her. No.
Why not?
She's one of them really irritating type of people. Yeah. Yeah. Anyway, she knows her shit, obviously. Mm.
Yeah.
She does a very good show if you're into that kind of shit. Mm. But there was a lot of controversy around it. BBC wouldn't tell anybody. It wasn't kind of released to the press who was going to replace Steve Wright. And it turns out it was Michael Ball. Then there was some kind of issue around that. It was going to be somebody else. Dermot O'Dreary, I think his name was thrown up. Now, I'm not too sure what that nonsense is about with him. But anyway, bloke who does a music show knows fuck all about music.
Yeah,
you know what I'm saying.
It works. Yeah.
Thanks a lot, the BBC.
Mm.
And I just wondered what your view on it was, but I do have a view myself.
Please express.
Well, my view is the fact that I think Michael Ball is a very good radio presenter. He's also entertaining. I won't say he's a funny man, but he's entertaining.
Mm.
But he does know his business without a shadow of a doubt. I think, like with my view on bands... I know I'm slightly going off the subject, but I'll explain. Let's take Queen. Freddie Mercury dies.
Mm.
Queen still go out and replace him and still call themselves Queen.
Yeah.
I personally don't think that should happen. And I don't think that should happen with the Steve Wright Sunday Love Song show. I think make it Michael Ball, keep a similar format, but change the title.
Yeah,
because... That was always, it's one of these things I think that's kind of, it's part of the legacy that Steve Wright left as a presenter.
Mm.
I'm not saying that it was his creation. I think I could be right in saying that partly it was.
Mm.
And to then kind of replace him with somebody else, for me, just doesn't work, Chris.
No.
I don't know. What's your view, as a legendary radio presenter?
I wish. Steve Wright was... a pioneer of radio, without any doubt whatsoever. He introduced a whole new format, something called the zoo format, which in effect gives the impression that you're in a party, you're in a room full of people,
that's it.
Hooping and laughing, all the rest of it.
American thing,
Americanization,
I think,
Now, in the Sunday Love Songs, he never did that. It was more a presentation type thing.
Yeah.
To sort of express the seriousness of what he was talking about, you know, deep relationships, I suppose.
Yeah.
But you mentioned Queen and Freddie Mercury. Now, the guy who took over from
Adam Lambert.
Yeah.
Yep.
I think he is a fantastic replacement.
He is. Top draw.
In many, many ways. Similar persona, similar singing style, the works.
Yeah.
I know Freddie was irreplaceable, but this chap is near to possible, near as possible to replace him.
Okay.
In my opinion. So I can't see any reason why they can't keep going round as Queen. You know, I don't see why they should.
Oh, you think they should?
Yeah, I can't see any reason why not. But if there is a case of a fundamental change with a band,
yeah,
in that case, I reckon it's important to alter things. Yeah. What are you doing, Nick?
Well, see. I was just seeing how long we'd been rambling on about this nonsense.
How long we've been waffling on?
Quite a while, actually.
Oh, right.
I can't see it without my pissing glasses, but I think it's about 25 minutes. Cross, right. That's flown by, isn't it?
It has, isn't it?
Absolutely flown by. Yeah,
and we haven't even touched our agenda.
No, we don't really have an agenda,
we don't have an agenda.
We just get here, we see each other, and we have our traditional pizza.
Pizza,
followed by a bun that looks like a woman's left it.
Oh, that's what you say.
Yeah, and
that never struck me.
And then we just carry on and babble on all this crap, don't we? But it is laced with a lot of fact.
It is laced with fact.
And instructive things.
Yes, and thought as well.
Thought. It's all about thought. Thought is a good thing.
It is.
We hope that when you're listening to these shows, they do provoke thought in the listener.
Yeah.
If they do, I think our work here is done, Reverend.
I agree. Even if they disagree.
Yeah, totally.
Because
whatever the thought is,
there is no right reason why people should agree with everything. It wouldn't be right, would it?
No. And apart from that, I think it's good to be an individual.
Yeah. Well, we're all different.
Yeah.
That's the thing.
Well, I'd like to think so, although this country don't seem to buy into that stuff now, does it?
There's a lot of corporateness going around, isn't
there?
Oh,
good God, yeah. Terrible.
But I think as long as you realise that you're an individual, it's got to be a good thing.
Yeah, I totally agree. And long may that remain.
I agree with you, Nick. I agree with you.
You've got to have views. You've got to have opinions.
And be able to express them.
Totally.
But within reason. This is another thing we were talking about, isn't it? Yeah, when things go to extreme or dangerous views, should those ideas be suppressed? You know, I'm talking about here serious political extreme right-wing doctrines, for example. Should that be suppressed?
I don't think it should. I think I'm a great believer, and as no doubt people have come to learn that our kind of decade has been the 70s, isn't it? Mm. That was it for us.
Mm.
When people had arguments, they had issues, they had attitude, they had a reason to turn around and sit in the road or whatever it is, you know, protest, strike. Mm. I'm a big fan of the trade unions.
Oh, yeah.
You know, and what the trade unions brought to the working man and woman, which is long fucking gone. Mm. And that is never a good thing, never was a good thing. And thank Christ I don't work in that kind of environment in any way. But what it must be like now, I dread to think, to do a 9-to-5 job, you know, in a corporate kind of environment, you know. So, no, I don't think it is. I think you need attitude. You need to have issues. You need to have views. They need to be strong and they need to be vocalised. And in some cases, actually, you know, what's the word I'm looking for? Expressed by doing them.
Yeah.
You know, let's take the punk revolution.
Yeah.
You know, the car strikes in the 70s.
Yeah.
You know.
Yeah. I'm not disregarding any of that, Nick. I'm thinking they're a very good, valid example. I'm talking about the more dangerous extremist.
Okay.
So, for example, you know, race riots, people deliberately stirring up racial hatred.
Okay.
Should they be allowed to say it? Given that in our society we do have freedom of speech and we're proud of it, but should there be a line over which you don't go?
Do you think that is where is the line, Chris, with something like that?
Well, this I have difficulty with, Nick, because as I just said, I agree with the concept of freedom of speech, but I don't agree with the concept of people inciting violence. You know, there's got to be a division there somewhere.
The word
is a very powerful tool, and if used inappropriately, it can cause all sorts of damage.
Yeah, Yeah, I take all that on board. Mm. I don't quite know where that line is crossed, I'm honest.
Mm.
Again, going back to things, and I'll touch on this because I watched a programme that touched on it not so many days ago, football violence.
Yeah. Well, that was rife, you know, in the 70s.
Terrible. Absolute bloody madness.
Yeah, I can remember it being close to that on many, many occasions.
Really?
Yeah, I can remember going to a local football match, or Southern League, that time.
Okay.
With my dad, and it was a pre-season friendly, little town where I used to live, Tunbridge.
Yeah.
Playing Premiership Chelsea.
Holy shit, really?
It wasn't Premiership then.
What, a cup first game? Division.
No, this is a pre-season friendly.
Right, okay.
And you would think it's nothing's going to happen. But no, this massive band of Chelsea hooligans, they came down to Tunbridge, got off the train, having to thrash the trainer,
yeah,
and then walked right way through the town, causing havoc as they went, got up to the football ground, proceeded to smash the ground to pieces, and were running around with bicycle chains in their hand, whipping around like that,
really,
as a weapon. And my dad was turning around, giving them what for, you know. I was saying to my dad, don't do that, I'll come and get you.
Yeah, yeah.
And it was quite scary then.
Oh, yeah, I can well imagine.
And, I thought, well, why, what's making these people do this?
Mm.
I didn't know.
I know I'd experienced that when I was a press photographer on the papers, coverage of games, local games, Peterborough, Cambridge, that kind of stuff. You know, that, and it's wickedly frightening.
It is.
Very intimidating.
Yeah, it is.
Very intimidating. Masses and masses of, you know, I'll call them brain deads,
yeah,
you know, trying to kick up some kind of shit,
yeah,
you know, over a football match.
That's what they're doing, yeah.
But I mean, I don't know, you know, do you think that's, that kind of thing is caused by a word? I mean, obviously somebody kicks that off and says, hey, up, you know. Hey up, Dave.
Well, this is your extreme right-wing organisations are often led by highly articulate people,
yeah,
very highly qualified, who basically, they set these other people off.
Yeah.
So you go and do this, you go and do that. It'd be a good laugh.
I know it's certainly rife in places like Germany, isn't it?
Mm.
And things like that, European, yeah, countries, which we don't, they kind of put an embargo on the press, don't they,
yeah,
in this country, on what you actually allowed to read and all the, despite the fact that they say it's free speech,
mm,
free press, you know, it's all quite censored coming, yes, in from places like that.
Mm.
Are we talking Middle East? Is that what we're talking about?
I reckon so.
Yeah?
Yeah, I think,
okay,
certainly.
Do you think that's anything new, though? It's always been a troubled area, isn't it?
It's always been a troubled area, and the world has always been a troubled area.
Yeah, totally.
I can't really think of any particular place that's been free of any trouble.
No.
You know, I can remember a period in time that like the late 60s, and you had the Summer of Love and all that.
Yeah.
When basically it was all peace and love and goodwill, but that was ended very, very rapidly, you know.
I don't really know what ended that. What ended it, do you?
Yeah, it was an event. The Rolling Stones were doing a concert.
Hyde Park?
Yes, and I think the Hell's Angels group infiltrated
that. Ah, that was the American gig.
Yeah. Oh, was it?
Yeah.
Right, and then all of a sudden, all the idealism of the Summer of Love, you know, the peace and goodwill and all that stuff was broken. And in came the next phase, which
was that Rolling Stone show that, yeah, effectively changed it, was it?
That was, yeah.
Oh, right, I didn't, yeah, know that. Yeah, well, I do remember the case,
yeah.
Hell's Angels, and then they actually killed a load of people,
yeah,
didn't they?
Yeah,
The Stones didn't put security guys in, did they?
No,
they brought the Hell's Angels in as their, yeah, security,
yeah,
to do the gig.
Yeah.
I mean, going back that time, security wasn't a big issue, was
no,
it? Not like it is now.
No.
But, yeah, oh, I didn't actually know
that
was... Right, okay.
It was just a very quick gear change. You know, all that idealism and peace and love and cooperation and beautifulness was washed away.
I didn't get involved in that, did you? Summer of Love and all that nonsense?
Well, I was a bit young, Nick.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. Well, me too. Me too.
I don't think I'm to be able
me
to.
Too. But, you know, well, I just don't... I do remember quite a bit of that period, but I think it's probably down to research or whatever.
I can remember quite clearly. It's another memory that's going into my
book. Okay.
It must have been around about the 66, 67 marks on holiday with my parents.
Right.
I think I said this in another of your podcasts. And, I can remember walking along. It's in the evening. My parents are walking. I'm holding back just a little bit to be a little bit cool. And I'm singing a Beatles song, you know, to myself. All you need is love. So,
I do remember you mentioning
this. And
then
a couple of hippies came up to me and said, "Hey, man," or something like that. "That's real beautiful. Have this as a token of our love." And they gave me a little coin, a sixpence or something.
Right.
And I've still got that somewhere.
Are you really?
Yeah.
Fantastic.
And I thought, how lovely.
Where was that?
I think it must be either Weymouth or Margate.
Okay.
Yeah.
So the moral of that story is go to Weymouth or Margate if you want to earn.
If you want to get a sixpence. Oh. Oh, dear.
Oh. Desperate cough. Oh. When I laugh, it kicks it off, would you believe, is not good.
Well, let's try not to laugh. Let's be very deathly serious. Nick,
well, I think we have been, haven't we, on this particular show. It's been quite informative.
It's been informative. It's been a little bit weird and wacky, I think. I think people will probably say, "Chris, you're a nutter, man." But no, I'm not. I'm just an average sort of
I think that would be unfair. You know? I think I can, Christ, how long have we known each other? It's a long time now, 10 years?
It must be, 10 years, yeah.
I would never consider you a nutter.
So 10 years ago, I'd have been 57. So now I'm 67. Not an awful lot's changed. I was divorced when I first met you. I'm still divorced.
Yeah.
I don't have a partner in life now. I don't know why that is, but I'm quite happy as I am.
Well, that's all that matters.
Yeah, I quite like the solitude.
Okay.
You know, gives me time to think as well. But I never say never.
Right.
You know, I do appreciate the ladies. Let's put it that way.
Got it.
It's
the way forward.
It is. But I don't know if I want to invite them into my home particularly.
No. I can understand that.
Any ladies out there?
I
speak to Nick, he'll put you in contact.
In saying that, I will, willingly, willingly. It's funny because I do remember a very good friend of mine once telling me that you can live on your own too long.
Yeah, I reckon that's true.
You know? Mm. And you I don't know, whether you kind of only can stand certain amounts of company or, you know, whether you could live together with somebody, I don't know. Do you think you could?
I don't know. I don't know, Nick. I think I probably could, but I don't know if I want to.
Sense. Yeah. That makes total sense.
I've got used to it, Nick.
Yeah, you've got to be able to do both, haven't you?
I'm
wanting
in the comfort
and, you know, quite happy to do so.
Yeah. But there we are.
No, like I say, it's you're not the first one to mention that. I know that it can be that kind of thing.
Yeah,
I don't know. I don't know whether I've kind of experienced that. I don't know.
Well, some people say they can't stand loneliness. Well, I can stand loneliness.
Yeah.
I love to go out to the Wash, which is near here.
Yeah.
It really is out in the sticks, you know. Not a soul around. And I love it. I love that solitude.
Right.
And that silence. I love it.
I like no souls around.
Mm-hmm.
I do.
Yeah.
I think the trouble is there's too many bloody souls around, aren't there?
Yeah.
And it's difficult to find a hole in that.
Yeah.
You know, where you can actually get away and spend some time on your own, whether that be emotionally, thought-wise, whatever it is.
Yeah.
Or just observing, we'll go a bit Chris Packham here, nature and all that nonsense.
Mm.
You know, which it isn't nonsense. Obviously, it isn't nonsense.
No.
But it's not a widely accepted fashion, is it?
No. And I wouldn't, you know, I love nature, but I wouldn't want to be a naturist, if you get my drift.
Oh, I think I could probably do that gig.
You could swing low, sweet chariot.
I think I could do that gig.
Could you? God,
yeah.
Oh, no.
Yeah.
I wouldn't impose that on anyone, Nick.
Yeah, no, that don't bother me at all. That kind of thing.
Oh, my God. Stop doing it now, Nick.
No, I'm not bothered about that. I'm a bit of a Billy Connolly, really.
Yeah.
They call her, they claim in everything he does, he has to bare his arse, don't he? Yeah.
Good bicycle parking space.
Indeed. If you got a big Honda, and the side stand's a bit iffy, just get your mate to bend
that's
over.
It,
Why don't you go for a quick breeze?
Oh, don't.
And get a bit of nature.
Oh, no, Nick, no.
No, I mean. Oh, no, that car shit don't bother me.
No, please.
Not at all. No, doesn't bother me at all. Lovely. Never
so,
has done.
So we've gone to bare bottoms to being born. How about that?
Yeah, well, we've kind of come all fair circle.
We have.
Because you end up getting a slap on your arse.
Yes, actually, you do.
You
that,
know?
That is a great title for a poem, A Slap on the Arse.
Yeah.
You know, that's a good one. I'm going to jot that down.
They I would do. Yeah. I would do.
I like it.
Anyway, for now.
Yeah.
I think your phone's ringing
now.
Yeah,
we'll let it ring. Mr. Answer Phone will take it.
I see.
Yeah.
I think for now, we're kind of going to wrap up the show. It's been, as always, Chris, a really entertaining and learned, if that's the right question.
Learned, that's the right word.
A learned show. To have the Reverend back on.
Yeah, absolutely. Now I'm earwigging my message, you see. What's it going to be? Oh, they put it there. So it's obviously one of those phone calls.
Oh, yeah, one of them ones that you love to get.
Yes, it's also one of those.
Yeah. You know, if you've got a chimney, we could actually replace that, put a gas fire in.
That's it.
You know, some shite like that.
Yeah.
Anyway, viewers, listeners, viewers, listeners, anybody out there listening to this crap, we're going to say cheerio for now.
Cheerio for now.
This has been the end of show 24, wow. Nick Elliott podcast. I've been Nick Elliott, rock art photographer, and this has been...
Chris Moore, weirdo.
And for now, we're signing off. Catch you later.
Bye-bye.